I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
Tatum fires over Sabonis. It's a four-point play opportunity, Jason Tatum is clutching his right ankle. This is not what the Celtics or anybody else wants to see.
Tells you everything.
Yeah.
It seems to be doing okay. He's just icing it right now. I didn't see the play, but they made the right calls of flagrant foul, and fortunate that he was able to shoot the free throw and, just taking care of it right now. So.
When did he tweak an ankle ring?
Yeah, he just landed on the defender's ankle.
Okay.
Yeah, our foot.
Time now for the Christian Arcan Show.
Yo,
it's Arcan!
On WEEI.
Good evening. Welcome in. It is the Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. Nice to have you with us here this evening. A Tuesday, the 25th of March. And we just have an hour together tonight, dear listeners. Very sorry to say that. Love my full shows. But the Red Sox are playing. They're down in Mexico. They got one more game. And we got the season opener coming up on Thursday, which I can't believe. But what's on everyone's mind? What do we all wake up worried about today and been stressing about all day long? That would be the ankle of a one Jason Tatum. And we'll begin there with our 6 o'clock headlines.
6 o'clock headlines.
All right, well, you just heard it right there. I don't know if you saw the post-game show, but Scal was really mad that there aren't more calls like that for Jason Tatum, that he doesn't get more of those calls. I was watching it, and I was thinking, man, I don't know if it's a good time to bring it up, obviously, because he went down in a heap. He had to be helped off the floor. According to Adam Himmelsbach and some other reports, he was not available for interviews. He was at his locker eating and joking with teammates, wearing sneakers on both feet, no boots, no crutches, nothing like that. That's certainly something you like to hear. Himmelsbach followed that up saying that he left the arena with no crutches, no boots, just a very slight limp. Clearly it's an ankle sprain is what it looks like. That's what it always is, unless it's something worse, which is rare in those instances, but a bad example of why they've tried to really regulate that out of basketball. And what that I mean by that is the Zaza rule, the Pachulia rule, which means don't land in someone's landing space. Don't have your feet there. Don't make that an issue. And unfortunately, it's not really getting called all the time. So I kind of agreed with Scal when he was yelling and screaming about it afterwards. Good on Joe Mazzulla there for not doing that, for letting Scal and the post-game show sort of handle that. You don't need to get fined or in trouble with the referees as we head into the playoffs now. There's no reason for that. You could tell Mazzulla wasn't happy about it, but they didn't get the call right. Domantas Sabonis had a big game, but it wasn't enough, obviously. Jason Tatum, though, going down and writhing around on the floor like that was certainly a sight that I think a lot of people may have been more bothered by than they expected to be, especially now that we know he's probably going to be okay. Even though I know that, I still think of him rolling around, writhing on the ground. And it's tough. It's tough to process that as a Celtics fan, knowing what we know about him and knowing what we know about this team without him. And I think that that's sort of where we are. We've all imagined a life or a playoff run. I don't want to say a life, but like a playoff run without Porzingis, right? We've all thought about that. We've all sort of made peace with the idea that maybe what happens in some of the years that he's here. Derek White, Drew Holiday, even Jaylen Brown to an extent. But Jason Tatum, it's hard to square that away. It's hard to look at the team. It's hard to look at the Celtics and say, without him, I still think they have a pretty good shot at it. Without Porzingis, I still think they can win a championship. Without White or Holiday, maybe not both or all three, obviously, but any one of those individual guys goes down. And I think a lot of people would still take the Celtics. Jason Tatum goes down, and all of a sudden, you're talking about a very, very different situation. I think Jason Tatum being out of the mix would bring the Celtics down to the level of a lot of other teams in the Eastern Conference. They'd still be better than them, but they'd be on that same kind of level, you know? Like, I don't know. He's what pushes them into the elite tier. And I think that that's an important factor to consider here as we get closer and closer to the postseason. Another thing I was thinking about as I was watching that, would they have even called that if Tatum didn't crumble into a ball and start rolling around? Would that call have been made? Because I feel like I see that a lot with him. I'm not saying that the refs are biased against the Celtics or anything. I'm not. I just think that maybe there's something going on with this call or this play and the way that it's called, and certain players don't get the call. You know, because I was watching it, and Sabonis just walks right through the landing zone. Like, he doesn't really make any effort. He did close out on the shot, and he was trying to block it. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a pretty obvious one at this point. They're looking for it. They're watching for it. And I feel like it gets called a lot in other games that I watch, but I feel like the Celtics don't get it that often. I feel like Tatum doesn't get it that often, despite taking lots of contested shots. That being said, I wonder if that would have risen to the occasion if he didn't fall down and clearly hurt himself. Like, that's sort of the spirit of the rule, right? It's not just something you react to when someone gets hurt. You call it every time so that people stop doing it so that no one will get hurt in the future. And I know I sound like I'm crying about the refs and all that, and I'm really not. I don't mean to, and you know I don't like it when people do that. But I do think with this particular rule, there's a lot of gray area, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. I think that it's an easy one to call if you want to, and if you're looking for it, it's an easy one to spot. It's not like a catch in the NFL where everyone has their own interpretation of it. And, oh, yeah, a catch could mean this or it could mean that. Or you need to make a football move or you need to go to the ground or whatever. Like, there's all these different things. This is pretty simple. It's very straightforward. If someone takes a shot and they're in the air, if you go to contest it, you have to make sure, however you do it, that you don't land with your feet in their landing area. That's it. I mean, it's not any more complicated than that. And if people want to play on the edge and you know, risk it, then they have to get made an example out of if you want this thing to stick. And I just feel like it doesn't get called that much, you know, considering how often it looks like it happens. And I'm not just talking about every time a player is landed on the foot, but every time a foot's been there and maybe the player had to avoid it or something. Like, that's the spirit of the rule. And I know I'm panicking a little bit here, but seeing Jason Tatum go down like that kind of activated this, you know? I saw it and I thought, oh boy. I started thinking about 2022, about Tatum in the finals, clearly on a bad ankle, bad knee, I think it was at the time, actually, and, you know, how things looked and what he was, and I just don't want to have to go through that again. Like, that's one thing about these Celtics that is so valuable, and really what sets them apart. It set them apart last year, and that's the fact that they're healthy. That's the fact that they're available. That's the fact that they're conditioned enough that they can go out there in these playoff series, play the entire series, except for Porzingis, but, like, you know, the two main guys, Brown and Tatum, go out there, they play their ass off, they play almost the entire game, and then they're back out there two nights later and they're giving you that same thing. You look around the league, Giannis, Brunson, Jimmy Butler, Tyrese Halliburton, Donovan Mitchell, the best players in the Eastern Conference, could not answer the bell the way the Celtics could. And listen, I think the Celtics are a better team. I'm not saying that the only reason they win is because their good players don't get hurt. They still probably would have won if they had to face Mitchell and Butler and, you know, all the rest of those guys. They're probably not facing Halliburton if Brunson and them didn't get go down, or Giannis or anybody else. So I still think they would have beat all of those players and all of those teams. But the fact that they were healthy and that they were there and that they're durable and tough and not fragile, It's one thing you can say about these guys, you know, like they do not break easily. I don't know how much they've played through. Only they could really tell you that, them and the trainers. But I would imagine it's a lot. And yeah, they've had some maintenance days, and I don't want to hear anything about that either. Every team in the league does that. Their stars all still get hurt. Not the Celtics. Celtics stars are out there. Celtics stars step up. And they've been doing it for a couple years now, and we know what it looks like when one of them can't answer the bell. We remember what Jaylen Brown looked like alone in that net series. Or excuse me, what Tatum looked like in that series. We remember how Tatum couldn't really perform on that bad leg against Golden State. It's not the same. Now, you can count on, if you want to, you can count on all these good players getting hurt again for the playoff run and think, yeah, maybe the Celtics won't have to face them again. But I think that's crazy. It's just that they got lucky last year. They got lucky with that. I don't think they got lucky to win the championship, but they got lucky with how easy of a path it was. And I don't think even they would deny that. But this is now, I think, a different animal. The team's better. The competition, I don't think, is as good in the Eastern Conference. Cleveland's good. I don't really feel too much type of way about anybody else. I don't fear the Knicks. I don't fear the Bucks. I don't fear the Magic. I don't know. I think it's a very top-heavy Eastern Conference this year, and the Celtics are going to need their entire roster ready to go for that conference finals against Cleveland. And if it's not against Cleveland, then they're going to need their full roster ready to go against OKC or Denver, whoever it is that comes out of the West. Lakers, I don't know. But yeah, seeing Tatum go down like that, that was startling. That stopped me in my tracks. That was one of those injuries at this time of year that has you stressing about it all day long. I was also thinking about Tatum lately because he's been remarkably consistent here over the last 2 months. We remember in January and part of December, Tatum kind of dipped a little bit, and we were all watching it going, oh boy, is this what Tatum is now? Like, is he starting to, some of the shooting starting to go down here? Three-pointers aren't as good. He's not making shots like he was. Points per game's going down. There was a lot of, I think, stress going on at that point as people wondered, is this team not like last year's team and why aren't they? But Tatum since February has been great. And February into March, he's given you about as consistent of a 28-8-8 as you could ask for. I mean, it's really going on a nightly basis with him. And I think that that's an important thing to consider. I was also thinking, while he has been very consistent, the MVP race is basically over, and he's probably not going to be in the top three. But another thing I was thinking about is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, as good as he is, he's the leading scorer in the league and all that, and that's fine. But one thing about Tatum that, I don't know, I'm not sure how to phrase this exactly without sounding like a homer. You can get the honk thing ready if you want here, Stiz. But, like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is better than Tatum, but isn't the whole point of this the fact that Jokic and Giannis have these numbers that you just can't touch? Like, Gilgeous-Alexander's a better scorer. But if we're giving the MVP out to the guys who are doing the most, isn't that Jokic and Giannis? Like, aren't they 1 and 2? So why is Gilgeous-Alexander... Like, I understand he scores the most, and I understand that team's great, but if it's the best player on the best team, then Tatum should be winning it, you know? Like, I know I'm not going full 10 toes into this, so maybe that was not deserved, the honk horn there.
Wasn't the hardest I've heard you go.
It really wasn't. Like, I'm not, I don't know. I sort of think that, like, Gilgeous-Alexander's getting all this extra love just because OKC is not really, you don't really know a lot of other guys on that team other than him. And Jason Tatum, you do. And, like, with Giannis, you know, there's Giannis fatigue, there's Jokic fatigue. And I was sort of thinking that, like, if you got fatigue from those guys, the next guy up to get the MVP for political reasons because they're tired of giving it to Jokic and Giannis, the next guy to get it should have been Tatum, not Gilgeous-Alexander. Now, he's having a better year, but, you know, is it better than Jokic? Is he having a better year than Jokic? I'm not sure I'd agree with that. I'm not sure anybody could say that. And I think that you went through this, you know, 10 years ago with Russell Westbrook and James Harden and all those guys because Westbrook was averaging a triple-double, and you're like, well, who else can we give it to? Well, are we going to give it to someone other than the triple-double average guy? And that's basically what Jokic has been his entire career, but you can't give it to him every year. And I guess I was just sort of hoping that when they got tired of giving it to someone, you know, they didn't want to give it to Jokic, so they gave it to Embiid 2 years ago. I thought the next time they did that, that Tatum would get it. And instead, it's probably going to go to Gilgeous-Alexander this year. And I'm kind of annoyed by that. Anyway, let's get to our next headline. Drake May, speaking with the Up and Adams show with Kay Adams, said that he thinks the Patriots should take the best player. And if that sounds familiar to you, it should, because that's basically the exact same thing that Elliott Wolff said the other day. He's like, yeah, we're going to take the best player. And his reasoning for it, do we have this, Stiz? Do we have Elliott Wolff from the other day? If we don't, it's no big deal. I know I'm springing.
No, I'll go try to find it.
Okay, Elliott Wolff was talking about the best player available and how last year they went with the best player available at 3 overall. That led them to Drake May, and how it wasn't all bad. You know, we got Drake May, and I was listening to it, and I was like, I think he's been listening to me. I think he's been listening to my show, because I think I've said that exact thing. I think I've said that exact sentence. Like, yeah, 3, you know, if you're just going for need and you need a quarterback, that did end you up with Drake May. So at least last year's draft wasn't a total disaster. I've said that many times. And then I hear it come out of Elliott Wolff's mouth, and I was like, huh. You know, that was your draft, Elliott. Like, we're mocking you when we say these things. It's not some nebulous thing. Yeah, the draft, the Patriots and the draft. You were the guy in charge of that. So I thought that was interesting. And I think it's interesting that Drake May is sort of towing that company line. I don't think he's doing it necessarily because he was told to. I don't think it goes that deep. But I do think that he kind of said it. I mean, he kind of gave it away to Adams. He's like, listen, I don't want to stick my foot in my mouth here, so I'm just going to stop there. I hope we get the best player. And that's a very diplomatic, unimpeachable answer, right? What's he supposed to say? Yeah, I want to get a wide receiver. Or, yeah, I need a left tackle. I need something. I need help. Like, he's not going to do that. That was a smart answer for him to give, and one that I think is probably not true, unless, you know, he thinks Travis Hunter's the best player. And if that's true, then, yeah, probably. That fits all the boxes. Because basically he is the best player, right? He's the best player. He's the best player in college football last year. I don't know if he's going to be the best pro or not, but I think he's the best prospect in this draft, and I think a lot of people would agree with me. Now, that being said, it's really starting to sound like Hunter to the Patriots is very, very possible. All this smoke around Cam Ward going to Tennessee. Now Adam Schefter on his podcast was talking about Shedeur Sanders and a big connection with the New York Giants, which we'll play for you in a little bit. That got me excited, too, because if those two QBs are off the board, then you're definitely getting Hunter or Carter. And listen, I feel like Cleveland should take Hunter more than they should take Carter. Like, yeah, it'd be cool to have Myles Garrett and Abdul Carter, but also it'd be cool to have Travis Hunter. Like, if I'm Cleveland and I see them do that, I'd be not happy about it. Like, yeah, it's great to have a nice pass rush, but can we maybe diversify a little bit? That's really the only thing this team can do is rush the passer. Can we spread the wealth a little? Can we share the love? Can we put some equity in other parts of this team? But who knows? I mean, listen, I'm not in charge of what's going on over there in Cleveland. I have no idea what they're even thinking. But every single one of these mock drafts that I see for them, it's either Sanders or Carter. That's it. It's either them taking Shedeur Sanders, which I'd be shocked by, because they still have Watson on the roster, and they just picked up Kenny Pickett. So it seems like they have enough bodies at the quarterback position right now that they're going to have to pay some amount of money for. And now you're going to go draft another one to be, what, the third? I guess you could cut Pickett, but, like, I don't know. I mean, then why trade for him in the first place? Here is, what do we have? Oh, this is Elliott Wolff.
Elliott, yeah.
Okay, yeah, let's listen to Elliott Wolff.
Definitely advantageous to try to build that roster out and get as much as we can, whether that's middle class of the roster or upper class. You know, there's only so many, you know, elite free agents, and, you know, there's probably 27 teams looking at those guys. Certainly, we feel like we're a more attractive destination this year than we were last year, and, you know, we're excited to fill the roster out and get the depth and, you know, get to where we need to be so we can use that pick on the best player available.
Okay. I like the confidence with which he said, I think we're a more attractive destination than we were a year ago. Is it possible that they're not? Is it possible that they're less attractive than last year? Like, just hear me out for a second, because I don't remember hearing any hint of last year something like what happened with Chris Godwin, right? Like, that didn't happen last year. Calvin Ridley ended up going to Tennessee, but it's not like the Patriots blew him away with an offer. Tennessee's offer was bigger, if I recall correctly. So, you know, you can say it wasn't finance, but there was a better offer on the table and less taxes in Tennessee. So, yeah, he's going to make more money there. He wanted to be closer down south. You got to sweeten the pot if you want to bring people to New England, one way or another. But I wonder, like, is this – maybe it's equal. Maybe that's the answer. It's even. How unattractive. It's just the same as it was last year, only now maybe it's at least you got a coach. At least you have a quarterback. At least you know who the quarterback is. I don't really see this quarterback drawing in a whole lot of interest. I don't. But I do think that could be something that works out for a guy like Travis Hunter. A guy like Travis Hunter getting drafted fourth overall is probably thrilled to come to a team where Drake May's the quarterback. If you're getting drafted fourth overall, that usually means you're going to some crap team with some crap quarterback. At least in this case, you can look at that guy and say, okay, I know this guy's talented. I know that him and I can probably get something here going together. Maybe if we're not good right now, we can grow together, and this will be a team that we are here for years to come. Who knows? You know, maybe for a decade. I wouldn't count on that, but who knows? I mean, anything's possible. We'll see how good it is. But it's starting to look like this Travis Hunter thing is getting more and more real every single day. And if you know me, you know I love that. Also, Tom Brady in a blog post. Tom Brady has a blog, by the way. Since when does Tom Brady have a blog?
Like it's 2002.
What, does he have like a Tumblr too? What is this? Tom Brady had some thoughts on the natural tension that led to him leaving and the tension that he had with Bill Belichick, which we'll get to in a little bit as well. But let's get to our next headline. And that would be Andrew Razor Raycroft speaking out on Swayman. Now, I'm not going to get too far into this because I'm going to play this for you later on in the show. Around 6:45, we'll play what Razor had to say on Nesson about Swayman and the Darcy Kuemper fight that wasn't, state of the team right now, all of that. I found it to be kind of explosive. I know Razor thinks I don't like him. I love Razor. I do. I really do. And I really think that his insight on this stuff is very valuable. I do think he's a honk a lot of the time, but I do think that especially with goalie stuff, like I think his analysis is great. And in this case, He didn't hold back. He didn't hold back on what he thought about the whole Swayman situation. And we'll play that for you at 6:45. And finally, our last headline. And that would be the Red Sox in Mexico. Devers and Story did not make the trip. On ESPN's preseason power rankings, the Red Sox ranked number 9. And Mookie Betts simply cannot stop puking. I don't know what's going on with him, but he's been puking for 2 weeks. This mystery illness, which now, not just him, but it was him. Porzingis just had a mystery illness where he was puking for about a week too, right? What's going on? What's happening now? What, all of the, I refuse to believe that there's a stomach bug going around that the best doctors in the world who work on these athletes just have no idea what it is. Something about that doesn't seem right. Something's going on here. I'm putting on my tinfoil hat. I may go full Keefspiracy here, but doesn't this seem a little weird? Doesn't it seem a little weird that two very notable athletes had stomach viruses that no one could identify? And it wasn't just them. Wasn't there something going around down in Fort Myers, too? Didn't Roman Anthony spend like 5 days puking, too? What's going on? Because if it was the norovirus, people would just say, oh, yeah, they're the norovirus. But they don't know what it is. No one knows what's wrong with Mookie Betts. It's been 2 weeks. He hasn't had solid food in 2 weeks. Stiz, do you know what this is? Do you have a conspiracy theory?
I don't, but you think it's a coincidence that now all of a sudden we're not the drone things have just gone away, and now this mysterious illness is going around? I don't know. Just saying. Just trying to put the pieces together.
I mean, that was kind of a deep cut. I forgot about the drones. Like, the drones were so long ago, I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah, right. We never got a follow-up on the drones,
did
we?
Just one day, it just stopped being news.
Wasn't there, is there some group text maybe that they were talking about the drones in that they could have, I don't know, sent to WEEI or is it one of a competing news stations, something like that. I don't know. Seems to be what's going on these days. Anyway, Mookie, get well soon, buddy, because Major League Baseball is not as fun without Mookie Betts involved. And I hope whatever this is, like, I'm starting to worry. He hasn't had solid food in 2 weeks, even for like a non-athlete. That for anybody, that's, you know, like I'm worried about him. That's really sick. That's really sick. That's like medieval times, you know, like when people used to die on the toilet all the time, you know, like it was just, that's not, I don't even want to think about that. But 2 weeks of that, that's brutal. So get well soon, Mookie. We still miss you very much here in Boston. And those are your 6 o'clock headlines. All right. We don't have a lot of time. So if you want to call in, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I'll get to as many phone calls as I can here. We'll get to Drake May and the Patriots picking at number 4. Who is the best player? And should they only be thinking offense? We'll get to that with your phone calls right after Dan Ball. I'll get you caught up on what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Celtics beat the Sacramento Kings on the road last night, 113-95. Jason Tatum left the game in the third quarter with a sprained left ankle. There is currently no timetable for his return to the court. Boston visits the Phoenix Suns as their road trip continues tomorrow night. The Bruins, meanwhile, visit the Anaheim Ducks tomorrow night. Puck drop is at 10 p.m., and Boston has lost 6 in a row entering play tomorrow. The Red Sox wrap up their two-game exhibition series in Mexico against the Sultanes de Monterrey tonight at 7:10. Left-handed pitching prospect Shane Drohan starts for Boston. Their lineup, Jaron Duran, Alex Bregman, Roman Anthony, Rob Refsnyder, Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell, David Hamilton, Connor Wong, and Nick Sogard round out the starting nine. You can listen to the game after the Christian Arcan show on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. A Patriots compensation update from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. Linebacker Christian Ellis' new deal with the Pats is for $13.5 million over 2 years. Ellis returns to the team after the Patriots chose to match an offer sheet from the Las Vegas Raiders. And the NFL's competition committee is likely to propose a change to the league's kickoff rules that would raise return rates for 2025. The proposal would spot touchbacks at the 35-yard line rather than the 30, as it was in 2024 during the inaugural season of the league's revamped kickoff format. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More of the Christian Arcan show coming up right after this.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Covering Boston sports and beyond. We're back to Christian Arcan on WEEI.
You, not the front office. What would you like to see at four?
See
in the draft?
Four. You take the best player. I think in that early, you take the best player available. So, you know, any one of those guys. You know, I don't want to, you know, put my foot in my mouth here. So just whoever wants to come play in New England and you know, win some football game.
That was Drake May appearing on the latest episode of Up and Adams. Christian Arcan show here, WEEI. Nice to have you with us here tonight. Short show, so if you want to join the conversation, go ahead and do that at 617-779-7937. If you watch the show on Twitch or on YouTube, not having that tonight, unfortunately, due to the short show. Sorry, ladies, but that's just the way it is. What do you want from me? I'll be back on camera tomorrow. Elliot Wolf had said something similar to what you just heard there from Drake May about how we're going for best player available. I think that's an easy thing to say when you're a bad team with a lot of holes on your roster, but the Patriots now, I think, are not a best player available team anymore. Not completely. Because they've made some moves, and they've made some good moves, and they've made moves that I think everyone's pretty happy with that should maybe preclude them from going after another defensive tackle, for example, right? Like, we don't need another one of those. I'm not sure we need another cornerback, defensive back, which, Travis Hunter, I know he's a defensive back. I'd draft him as a receiver at fourth overall and have him play defensive back once in a while when he feels like it. Honestly, that would be ideally how I'd use him. Linebacker even, like, not that it's a big linebacker draft, but if it was and there was a guy there at four, I don't know that I would go for him. And I think right now you're already seeing, like, left tackle may be their biggest need. And the left tackle market is kind of light here in this draft. Everyone's scared of the turtle arms kid. And I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm basing all of this on what other people say. I have no idea what the ideal arm length is for a left tackle or a right tackle or anybody else on the line. I don't know. I know that I know that there's different body type. Like, you know, when you talk about offensive linemen, they're not always the same. Ross Tucker, we talked to Ross Tucker all last season, and he had a very weird body, and he talked about it. He was like, yeah, I have a very strange body. Short arms, sort of a stocky build, long leg, like, really odd build. But he's like, you know, it's sort of your technique and how you throw your weight around and all that's more important than those types of things. And I remember him saying that. And, I mean, it's Ross Tucker. It's not like it's Orlando Pace or something. But, you know, he did play in the league. And I remember hearing that and just thinking, man, they're really making a big deal out of this. Everyone's really making a huge deal out of this kid and his little arms. But either way, if they feel like he's not the best player available, are we just going by offense, or is it offense and defense, if that's what you're saying? You know damn well Drake May doesn't want him picking Abdul Carter. We know that for sure. You know damn well he doesn't want to pick a Mason Graham. I don't want to pick a Mason Graham either, because you just went out and spent all that money on Milton Williams. You don't need Mason Graham, too, along with maybe Christian Barmore. Like, it's just, that's too much, all right? The interior defensive line, you know, they can't block them all, true, but I'd still like to have someone for my quarterback to throw the ball to. And also someone to maybe protect his blind side, if that's not asking too much. This season, it seems like it might be. But that's sort of where I am with all of that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. There was also this. Adam Schefter, on his podcast today, was talking a lot about Shedeur Sanders and the Giants. He also, if you remember, was the one to really get the ball rolling on the Titans and Cam Ward. So when he comes out with stuff like this, you pay attention to it. Because Schefter doesn't just say these things just to say them. He says them so he can be the first one to say them, because he knows it's already in the bag. And he's comfortable enough to come out and say, you know, what I'm hearing here is that they really like Shedeur Sanders. Anyway, you listen for yourself. You tell me if I'm crazy. Here's Adam Schefter on his podcast talking about Shedeur.
They've done a ton of work on him. They spent a lot of time in Boulder. He had the New York Giants cleats before the Alamo Bowl. Mm-hmm. He's having a catch with Malik Nabers at the Heisman Trophy presentation. Again, we'll see what they decide, but there's been a lot of smoke and a lot of connections for Shedeur Sanders to New York, and he's been raised to kind of perform with the bright lights in the big city, and I could just see it happening, and we'll see what they ultimately decide.
Okay, you can see it happening. All signs are pointing to this. If Adam Schefter says, I can see it happening, then it's going to probably happen. he chooses his words carefully, so that the record will show that he say, yep, you know, I was there. He's very careful about that stuff. I know from interviewing him. You have to ask questions a certain way with Adam Schefter. He'll correct you. You have one little thing that's not exactly right as reported, he'll jump on you and correct it about announcements and all sorts of things. So it's not, you know, he's careful about that. He's careful about the record and the record that he leaves. So I hear that, and I hear, all right, the Giants are pretty hot for Shedeur Sanders. And I'm not surprised either, by the way. I think he will be a good fit in New York. And not just because of the personality, flashy, you know, bright lights or anything. I think that Malik Nabers is a dynamic offensive player. And Shedeur Sanders is a type of quarterback who, if you give him a weapon like that, he can make things happen. Ask Travis Hunter, ask Jimmy Horn, ask Levante Wester, and all these other wide receivers that he had in Boulder for the last 2 years. He was great with those guys. And I think Malik Nabers is right in that category, for sure. Maybe even better than them. You know, I mean, I don't know if he'll be better. End up being better than Hunter. I guess we'll see. But right now, he's considered a top or an up-and-coming, soon-to-be top wide receiver in the NFL. And you pair him up there with Shedeur, and I think you got something there. No one really, I said this the other day, but no one really ever has a specific reason why they don't like Sanders, like a football reason. You can't really, his arm strength is there, accuracy is there, pretty good leader, tough, takes a lot of shots, didn't have a good offensive line, still put up massive numbers. You know, there's not really a good decision maker. Like, it's not really a lot of football reasons not to like him. It's just, you know, that's sort of what I've noticed. But here we are. Anyway, if he's going to the Giants, that's very good news for the Travis Hunter to New England faction, which I believe I am now the president of. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones. Bobby claims to be a doctor in Boston who says he can tell me why Mookie Betts is sick. Bobby, what's going on with Mookie?
So this is only seen in the emergency department primarily, but he has something called cannabis hyperemesis syndrome.
Whoa.
It's from overuse of marijuana. It affects the receptors in your brain, and you have these episodes of severe vomiting, fear of food, and you can lose up to 30 pounds.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
I'm calling BS.
I'm probably calling that, too. I've heard of what he's talking about. I know someone who had that, actually. I know someone that did, that happened to, if you can believe that. I went to the University of Colorado. So if you can believe it, I know some people who smoke pot, like maybe too much pot, and have had that exact same. I know what he's talking about. And it knocked this person out of commission for, I don't know if it was weeks, but for a while. And you know what? I don't want to say this because I don't want to make it seem like I'm endorsing the idea that Mookie Betts was smoking weed or anything like that. But if it, you know, like if they're saying it's unknown, they don't know what it is. Really? You don't know what it is? You don't know what it is? You don't want to say what it is. Right? Again, that's not my opinion. It's just, it just popped into my head right now.
I'm tweeting it out now. Arcan says
don't.
Mookie's smoking too much weed.
It's not. Listen, I'm surprised the doctor would come on the radio and say that, though, by the way. Starting to question Bobby's medical credentials.
He did use an anonymous name. Bobby was not his real medical name.
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
It's Dr. Nick. anyways, who knows? Whatever it is, Mookie, get better soon. Whatever's wrong with you, I don't care. Listen, it's a judgment-free show, I'll tell you that. Whatever it is. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I promise we play this Razor audio. This was Andrew Raycroft, friend of the station. Although, I don't know, has he run out of shows? Am I the last show for him?
Yeah, you might be. I mean, he's hanging on with us. We thought we kind of ruined it last week when we threw him on the spot with the Marchand trade. But he came on after, so hopefully we're still in his good graces.
Okay, and it shouldn't have been that bad. You know, like, wait, you're not supposed to talk about that? Like, come on. But either way, Razor, the door's always open here. You know, I know. I don't know what Razor thinks I don't like him or what. Someone told me that. I don't know if that's true. I love Razor. And I'll talk hockey with him anytime. So, you know, if you run out of shows, you burn every bridge, you got one show left right here at night, buddy. You can talk to me. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll hear from Razor and what he had to say on Nesson right after this.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
You're listening to Christian Arcan on WEEI.
What are we doing? What are we doing? We've lost seven in a row. No one's scoring. No one, like, what are we doing? That's my thought. Why are you going out there, Jeremy? That's my first thought.
Okay.
Because I didn't think what Kemper did. I know what Kemper did wasn't egregious. I know it wasn't over the line. I know we just, you know, a guy ran into him for no reason and he, you know.
He gave some contact.
They were both getting penalties. The refs had both of them, 2-2, move on. And it's a 3-2 game.
What's the old expression? When you've lost Cronkite, you've lost America. Well, when you lost Razor, you've lost Nesson, and that's not a good thing for Jeremy Swayman. It's the Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. We only have a few minutes left. I want to get to this. I have some Red Sox updates for you as well, including a pretty nice power ranking, preseason power ranking, where they're in the top 10. But first, I thought that was a pretty, I don't want to say a big admission there by Razor, because he didn't admit anything, but in terms of him, I don't want to say attacking the goalie either, because it wasn't even a full-on attack, but that to me was very strong there by Andrew Raycroft. What are we doing, Jeremy? What are we doing? And I think that was part of what you got in Zadorov's reaction yesterday. Like, what are you doing? Wait, you think I need you to stand up for us? Like, we're good, Jeremy. Thanks. All right? Why don't you get back in the crease, you know? Mind the pipes, and we'll handle it out here, okay? Zadorov, of all people, like, I'm okay. I'm usually the guy in charge of these types of things. Not all 5'10 and, you know, 112 pounds of you. I wanted to see the goalie fight. We all wanted to see the goalie fight. But even in real time, you could tell it was pretty performative. And sometimes guys fight in hockey performatively. I mean, that's not a super rare thing. I see guys doing that all the time. They pick a fight to try and spark their team. It's usually not the goalie who does it. That's going a step in an odd direction. Usually it's, you know, the goon. Usually it's Zadorov or somebody like him. So maybe he was annoyed. You know, this guy took my fight, which he didn't even. Nothing actually happened. But also what Razor said there about how it wasn't even egregious. Someone crashed into Kemper and so he gave him a little business. That's basically it. It can come off as phony. Zadorov goes and picks a fight with somebody, unless it's some, you know, tiny forward or something. You know, he goes out and picks out the other guy's goon and they go at it, try and spark the team. It may be performative, but you don't consider it phony. When it's Jeremy Swayman for no real reason, skating out there, throwing his helmet, come on, let me at it, you know, like it's not the same. Especially when you're having such a bad year. It almost displays a bit of tone deafness. And I feel like I have to do it. You know, I went hard after Zadorov yesterday because I do think that he's having a bad year too. But I don't want to make it seem like I'm making excuses for Swayman or that Swayman doesn't deserve to be criticized. He absolutely does. And he should be. And I'm doing it. I've been doing it all year. I'm not making excuses for him. And I don't think that he deserves any. But I also am not sure that Nikita Zadorov is the guy who ought to be delivering that message with the year he's had, leading the entire NHL in friggin' penalty minutes, okay? Like, is that fair, all right? You know, like, I don't know. I will say this. Swayman better get it together. And I don't know if that's going to happen this year. I don't know if continuing to play him even makes sense this year. Like, what's the point? The season's over. I guess Korpisalo could go out there and be good and win you some games, and that may not be good in terms of draft standing, but who cares even if that happens, honestly. You know, so give the Providence kids a chance to experience what a win feels like, you know, before the season's over. Fine, whatever. But I'm starting to think maybe Swayman should just pack it in. I'm not seeing any real benefit to playing him other than maybe punitive. All right, you wanted to be the number one goalie, buddy. Here you go. You know, enjoy. But I think that just drives you a little bit closer towards what I think is something we're getting close to here with him, which is an emergency trade out of a toxic room where you got to pay half the salary or more, and then he goes off to Toronto or something, and he's nasty, and they win the Stanley Cup. You know, like maybe they don't win the cup, but they're good, and he's good. And you're sitting there going, man, we had to trade him. Why do we have to trade him? What happened here? Why does this keep happening to us? You know, that type of thing. And I'm just, I'm not ready for it. I really hope whatever's wrong with him, he fixes it in the offseason. With that said, a couple of Red Sox notes I want to update you all on here before we head down to Mexico for the finale of this two-game series, and that is that Zach Kelly, according to Alex Speer, Zach Kelly was informed that he has made the team. Also, Cora said that the fifth starter will most likely be Sean Newcomb. Zach Kelly and Greg Weissert have both made the team. One bullpen spot is still undecided. Cora said that Chapman will also be the primary closer, but will also spend some time in the eighth inning. I don't know if that means that Slayton will get some save opportunities, or if that means that Garrett Whitlock will get them, or even Liam Hendricks. I don't know. I don't know. I know that Liam Hendricks had a tough spring, and that he was someone that I think they really had their mind set on being the closer, at least to start the year, and his spring maybe talked him out of it. And if you think that the springs don't matter, and I know people have called in and texted me and said that, Arkin, you read way too much on what happens in the spring. Okay, well, it looks like the Red Sox are too, because Liam Hendricks was supposed to be the closer, and now he's not. And now it's going to be Aroldis Chapman. So don't just say I'm the one who does it. The team's doing it too. All right? The team's absolutely doing it too. But I don't want to end this on a bad note. So how about this? Jeff Passan and the folks over at ESPN. Oh, wait. I think we have some breaking news here. Oh, yeah. We have a little bit of breaking news. Not Red Sox news. But it looks like the Giants and Russell Wilson have reached an agreement on a one-year deal worth up to $21 million. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Does that mean they're not drafting Shadur anymore? I still think they should, but does that mean they're not anymore? Interesting. Russell Wilson going to New York. I thought he might stay in Pittsburgh. That wasn't worthy of the sounder, right? I mean, come on. We're almost...
I almost hit it, but then you started
going. We got a
going.
Minute left. I don't think so. It's not... Russell Wilson of the Giants is news, but it's not big breaking New England news. Anyway, Red Sox, I have 1 minute left here. Let me just tell you. The Red Sox, ninth in the preseason power rankings at ESPN, over with Jeff Passan and the rest of the ESPN baseball writers. And here's what they say. The projected record, 84-78. And the thing we'll be talking about most this season, Rafael Devers' unhappiness was the answer, so we'll go with Boston's big three of prospects and the most likely award winner, Garrett Crochet, for the Cy Young. That's all the time I have here tonight. I'll be back tomorrow at 6, full show. The Play Tessie guys are going to be with me for a full hour tomorrow, so looking forward to that. Stick around. Red Sox baseball is next here on WEEI. Good night now.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host.
Investigators Later.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.